Whatever he allows to come our way, he has a purpose, a divine purpose through it. Yes. So it's a good thing to keep in mind as we enter into this new year. Brand new year coming on ahead of us here. That means that it's been nearly 2,026 years since Jesus was born. So we're going to send the kiddos back to children's church. I can see their antsy ready to go, right? Woo! Have a blessed time. Of course, that's if you go by the Julian or the Gregorian calendars. 2,026 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. That's what you proclaim every time you write the year. If you go by the Hebrew calendar, it's been 5,786 days since, anybody know? Creation, the beginning of the world. 5,786 years since the creation of the world if you follow God's Hebrew calendar. And of course, if you do follow that calendar, well, we're a little late because New Year's was back in September. Seems to be when God tends to change things up. God alone, he is the only one who knows what the year ahead of us has in store. We may have plans, we may have many of them, but we all know that many are the plans in a man's heart, but God's are the ones that prevail. The Lord's alone prevail. So whatever comes our way, whether it be good, bad, indifferent, we can enter into the new year with hope. With hope. Because whatever we face, we know that God is greater. You may have seen this little thingy and wondered, what in the world is this thing about? It's a little, you know, United States Christian culture thing. And what it means is God is greater than all the highs and lows. God is greater than all the ups and the downs. Right? God is greater. God's greater than our fears. God's greater than our failures. God's greater than any obstacle that we could ever face. God is greater than our doubt. God is greater than our weaknesses. Whatever it is that we use as an excuse in life, God is greater. And there exists no excuse for us to reach our full potential in Christ. God's greater than even our strengths. God's greater than our faith. God's greater than our successes. God is greater than every high and every low that we could ever face in life. That means even when you're on cloud nine and you're thinking life could not possibly get any better, guess what? It could. It could get better. Remember how we ended last week? More than anything we could think, ask, or imagine. Not only is that what God could do, that's actually what God's plans are for us. God is sovereign. Sovereign. This is an interesting theological concept. This means, this is an absolute truth. This is a doctrine you can hang your hat on. God is sovereign. That means that God holds all power. God holds all authority. God possesses all knowledge. God possesses all wisdom. He possesses the name above every name. Everything is his. God is sovereign. He has the final word. What he says goes. It will happen exactly the way that he says it. Now, what causes a little controversy, we can argue this another day, is how much does God intervene in our lives? God doesn't obviously use us as a puppet. He gives us free will. But if God decides to harden your heart, guess what? Old Pharaoh, your heart's getting hardened. God is sovereign. Everything was created by him. God needs absolutely nothing from us, but we rely and depend on him for absolutely everything. If God decides your heart's not going to beat next beat, it ain't going to happen. If he holds your next breath, it's not coming. We rely on him for everything. He is unlike any other man-made God because he doesn't need anything from us. Absolutely nothing. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will they were created and have their being. Nothing exists that God didn't create, except for himself. He is the only thing that was not created. Everything else, even Satan, the devil himself, was created by God. We'll go into how he became the way that he was some other time, but everything was created by God. That means God has sovereignty and supremacy over all things. You know, if you ever wonder if God's at Pizza Hut, what would he order? He's all about the supreme. I don't know. It's just getting a little dry. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading all the verses, not just what's up there. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things were created. All things were created. In heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. Thrones, powers, rulers, principalities. All things have been created through him and for him. You were created for Jesus, not for yourself. But you get to enjoy this life that he gave you. He is, that is Christ himself. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He is the head of the body, the church. I'm so grateful for that. You are the head. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in absolutely everything he may have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. Fully God, fully man. All the fullness of God in Jesus himself. And through him, he would reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. He paid a high, high price to reconcile us to him. Once you were alienated from God. Once you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Okay, so if you think you're something good, the Bible says otherwise. All of us at one time were enemies of God, thinking evil, wicked things. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. He presents you without blemish, free from accusation. Jesus knows me. He knows my every thought. He knows those things in my life that I don't want to show anybody else. He knows those things in my life I wish weren't there. But when he presents me to the Father, he presents me as blemishless, without spot or wrinkle. He presents me as holy and righteous. Because the Father sees me not as I am, but through Christ who is perfect. Wow. So we are presented holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, if you continue established and firm, and do not move from the hope that is held out in the gospel. I am once again a programmer by secular trade. I love writing computer programs. It's just something I can't seem to get myself away from. And let me tell you, I use this word all the time in computer programming. If. It's such a big little word. Everything hinges on it. When you come to that word, whether it's in computer programming or in life, you're going one direction or the other. You're forced into a decision. If you're this, then that. If you're this, then that. If you're broke, then If you got some cash, then yeah. These conditions, it's called a condition. God's promises, many of them are conditional. Many of his promises are conditional. He will present you accusation-free, holy, without spot or blemish, if you continue in your faith, if you do not move from hope. Notice it's not if you live a good and perfect life, if you completely stay away from sin and live a sinless life. No, it's if you stand firm and are established in faith, if you do not move from hope, if you don't move from the gospel, then yeah, you're accusation-free. If you stay in Christ, that big little word. So as we enter into the new year, then we're to enter into it with those two things, with faith and with hope. That's what we need to stand firm in and not be moved from. We enter into it with faith, with commitment, walking by faith and not by sight. If we walk into it not allowing life to free us from the hope that we have in Christ. We inherited this giant dog, and she loves to play. And this word always reminds me of that. You know, she loves to play tug of war, you know? She wants you to have it but not have it, you know, that kind of thing. It's the way we are with God, you know? I want you to take this from me, but I kind of enjoy it. And you got that struggle back and forth, you know, that tension. That's why we're called to surrender, just let it go. Dog doesn't like to do that. But on the flip side, that's how we're supposed to hold on to our hope. Life tugs and pulls and tries to steal it from you. Everything in this world is going to oppose it and try to steal away your hope that you have in Christ. And it's going to give you every reason to let go. But if you hold firm to the faith that you profess, if you hold firm to the hope that you have in Christ, then you're going to receive what was promised. Eventually, the world's going to let go, and it's going to be yours. That promise of God is going to be yours if you don't give up. When God made his promise to Abraham, this is in Hebrews chapter 6, since there was no one greater for him to promise by, right? There's no one greater than God. He promised by himself. He said, I will surely bless you. I will give you many descendants. And so, this is the part we don't like, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves. An oath confirms what is said. An oath puts an end to every argument. But because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to us, the heirs who are going to receive what is promised, he confirmed it with an oath. He wanted to give you something firm that you could hang your hat on, that you don't have to worry about it, you know? I don't know if anybody's ever put up hooks for, like, coats on the wall, and, you know, you're not sure if you hit that stud or not, and you kind of gingerly put things on it, you know? Not me. When I put up, like, a TV hanger, man, I put my fingers on that thing, and I because if it's going to hold me, it's going to hold that TV, you know? And if it tears out of the drywall, well, I just won the get to do it over again prize, and that's what we'll do, you know? God didn't want you to gingerly doubt whether it was something solid. He wanted you to know this is firm, this is a foundation. You can hang your entire life on it and not let go of it. This is firm, this is solid. So he confirmed it with an oath on himself because there's nothing greater that he could swear by. He wants you to be able to hang your entire life on these promises. So, God did this that by two unchangeable things. First, it's impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. If you don't know what your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And man, our souls, I don't know about you all, but we're emotional creatures. Our emotions like to lead us astray. Our will, we are some hard-headed people, and our will is not always in agreement with his. Sometimes our will needs broken, like a wild horse, you know, it needs broken, so that we are led by the Spirit of God. We have hope. Hope is the anchor for our soul, firm, secure. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered into on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So whenever depression, whenever loneliness, whenever fear or anxiety or discouragement or any other nasty, wicked, vile, evil thing tries to seep into our souls, and it will try. Whenever it starts to seep into our souls, we can chase them off with hope. Hope. Hope is our anchor. Hope in the promises of God. We can take those thoughts captive and we can kick them out of our lives with hope. God has given you a promise that will trump that fear. God has given you a promise that will trump that loneliness. God has given you a promise that will trump whatever it is that tries to steal away the promises of God. He has given you a promise to surpass it. We have a hope rope. We've got a hope rope. We have a hope whose rope goes straight into the Holy of Holies, straight into the most holy place. It anchors us to Jesus, who has gone ahead of us. And if you hold on to that rope, no matter where life sways you, you're going to keep going the right direction into your hope-filled future, as long as you don't let go of it. This hope keeps us moving forward in life, into God's victorious future. It keeps us moving towards Jesus, who is our pioneer, our author, the perfecter of our faith. Whatever we may face, God is greater. He's greater. God has the final say over our destinies. And who is like our God? I mean, really, no one's like our God. We want to be more and more and more like Him, but we're not like Him. Who can even begin to compare to God's greatness? God said this in Isaiah chapter 40, and there's a song about this that I absolutely love. I love it when you're like, man, this song is awesome. Then you realize, well, every single lyric, he just stole the Bible. He didn't even write his own stuff, you know? Oh, goodness. I love this song, though. Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 25, and this is the Lord speaking. Isaiah is just writing down his words. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Lift up your eyes. Look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one. He who calls forth each one of them by name. We haven't even seen all the stars in the sky yet. Yet he already knows them all and he knows them by name. Because he's the one who put them there. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not a single one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. It's a good question for ourselves, right? Why do we complain? Why do we whine? And we all do. We all do, but we should not. Why do we feel neglected? Why do we feel abandoned? Why do we feel forgotten by God so often? Why do we feel that way? Because we are not. Why do we feel like God doesn't care? Why do we feel like God has given up on us? Why do those feelings seep in? Well, because they're exactly that. They are feelings. They are feelings. And sometimes we just need to chase those feelings out with God's truth and God's promise. You know, I feel really lonely right now, but I'm not alone. God said never would he leave me, never would he forsake me. You know, and he gave me brothers and sisters in Christ. I know if I called any one of them, they'd talk to me. They wouldn't, you know, abandon me and neglect me. I know that everyone's just a phone call or a text away. Why? But why do I feel this way? Because the enemy wants you to believe a lie, that you are alone, that you are hopeless, that you're just getting what you deserve. It's not true, though. It's not truth. They are lies. They are distractions. But man, do they feel like your reality and like your truth. But they do not agree with God's word. Therefore, they are a lie. In fact, this is what, you know, the Lord went on to say. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So next time you're feeling weak, you're in a good place. Because you're in a place to receive His strength and His power. Even youth, they grow tired and weary. If you don't think they do, just for youth group, we try to wear them out as much as we can, you know, it's fun times. Young men, this is funny, they stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who what in the Lord? Now, it's if you live a good and a sinless life, right? No, just those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will. That's a word you can hang your hat on, right? That's a TV mount you can hang by your fingers on, you know? I will run and not grow weary. But man, am I weary, Lord. Lord, I will. You know, have that conversation with them. When we start feeling down, when we start feeling discouraged, we need reminded of who our God is. That's why God is reminding Isaiah of these things. And that's why he made sure it was recorded for us to read some 4,000 years later. So that we could go to these truths and remember that God is greater. He is calling us onward and upward always. He wants to give us hope and a future. He wants to renew us and restore us. He wants to give us strength. He wants to increase our understanding. He wants to increase our power. But sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be like David. He was very, very honest with himself. Whenever we get to feeling the same way, often he would say this. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Sometimes you just need to have that conversation with yourself. What is your problem? What is wrong with you? Have you not heard? Have you not known who God is? Why are you feeling this way? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. What are you supposed to do? Act straight, boy. Get your life right. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. No, what does God say? Just put your hope in the Lord. Because wherever your hope is, that's where you're going to go. Your thoughts will get into alignment. Your actions will get into alignment. Your attitude will get into alignment with your hope. But let me tell you, a lot of us, we are not hoping for the promises of God. Hope is an eager expectation. How many of us, let's be honest, are expecting worst-case scenario? And how many times do we think, oh man, this is what's going to happen? And it doesn't. Everything works out fine. But yet the next time that doubt comes, here we are again. We're expecting worst-case scenario, and it doesn't happen again. Why not start hoping in the promises of God? Start expecting good things from a great God. So why are you so downcast? Why are you so... Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. You can't save yourself. He's your Savior. He's your God. There is no one greater. There's nothing greater. Even back at the very beginning of time, God directly got down in the dirt face to face, and he spoke with Cain whenever he got all disturbed and downcast and embittered. He was feeling that same way. He got bitter. He started getting really angry, and God asked as a result. He's like, why are you angry? And again, the same question, why is your face downcast? If you do what's right, won't you be accepted? But if you don't do what's right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. You got to rule over this thing. God will help you, but you got to do it. God will be your strength, but you got to do it. God will be your peace, but you got to do it. The only way you're going to overcome sin is when instead of basing your soul, your mind, your thoughts, your will, your emotions, instead of putting them in how you're feeling and what's happening, you put them in the promise of God. And that is when you get led down straight paths, still waters. Hope rules over sin. Because hope causes us to desire good things that God has promised. Hope is an incredible path that leads us to a full and a fulfilling life. Hope leads you to a fulfilled life. Discouragement, anger, discontentment, they cause us to desire sin. Hope causes us to desire God and His kingdom and His promises. But discontentment, discouragement, anger, bitterness, they cause us to desire things of the world. They might make us happy for a short period of time, but ultimately they lead us to more discouragement and anger and discontentment, and they cause us to want to sin more. And it's just a vicious cycle. It's a terrible path that leads to death. Sin desires to have you, but you must rule over it. So why are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed? Why are you so angry? Sometimes we just have to ask ourselves that. And then you need to tell yourself what you need to do. Put your hope in God. Put your trust in Him. You know what? And start to praise Him. I know you don't feel like it. I know you don't see anything that causes you to want to. But do it. Praise God. And man, does it start to change things. Let Him be your Savior. Follow His lead by hope into an abundantly full life. Remind yourself that whatever you're facing, God is greater, right? Whatever you're facing, God is greater. God's greater than all of our ups and downs. And when our focus is on Him, that moves us beyond our current circumstances, it lifts us up to see from a proper, godly perspective. It gets you out of the immediate circumstances that you are feeling overwhelmed by. It lifts you up out of them, and it lets you see from His perspective. This is not how it's going to end. This is not where it's going to end. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, just throw off everything that hinders you. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles you. Just get rid of it. Throw it off. You can't dabble in it anymore because you're going to keep getting snared up in it. Get rid of this stuff. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Cast it away. And then run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the pioneer, the author, the perfecter of our faith. For joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Don't think you've gone through anything He hasn't gone through. He's gone through worse. He's literally gone through hell and back. But where's He at now? He didn't camp out there. And that's where He's leading you. You may go through it, but don't sit down there and just have a pity party. All right? It's time for the body of Christ to stop pitying themselves. Stop having those pity parties. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps and move forward. In hope, in hope, in hope. You don't have it yet. You're doing it by faith because you don't see it yet. You're doing it with your eyes fixed on Christ. He endured the cross, and He was able to scorn its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition so that you don't grow weary and don't lose heart. So that you don't grow weary and so that you don't lose heart, think of Jesus. Because that's where He's leading you. Heaven bound. Jesus went through some tough times, far tougher than any of us will ever endure. However, those were just some tough times. It did not cause for Him a tough life, and it was not His destiny. In fact, those can't even begin to compare to the eternal glory that He received. Even His entire 33-year span, even if every day was miserable, it was nothing compared to the glory, the eternal glory that waited for Him. And if we also don't lose hope, if we also cling to Jesus through the tough times, the things that overwhelm us now, we're going to look back on and laugh about them. They may feel eternal now. They may feel like our destiny now, but in the future, you're going to look back and think, oh, man, I forgot about that. Wow. Yeah, that was tough. But it was just a moment. It's, you know, the Bible relates this to childbirth. You know, it's horrible, it's horrific. Ah, you know, the agony and the pain. And you feel like it's never going to end. And there's no escaping it. There's no escaping it. The only way to escape it is to go through it. And you don't want to go through it, but you're forced to go through it. And you feel like it's never going to end. But then you get that newborn infant in your arms. And all of a sudden, it just, it's gone. Then they cause you all kinds of more pain. But anyways, it's a different kind of pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart. We won't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. So all the things of this world, they are fading away. They are temporary. They will let us down. They will cause us trouble. However, we're not of this world. We're not of this world. Greater is he who is within us than he who is in the world. Greater, greater, greater. We have dual citizenship. We're not just citizens of heaven, of earth. We're also citizens of heaven. We're kingdom people. We're priests. We're worshipers. We're kings. We're so much more. We are royalty. In this world, we are like Jesus. He said that he is not of this world. His kingdom's not of this world. He, like us, have been set free from the constraints of this world. Sin and even death itself had no power over Jesus. They have no power over us. We've been set free. We've been set free from it all. Jesus proved his sovereignty, his power, his authority over all created things, over sin, temptation, even death itself. He called out to Lazarus and Lazarus came out. He spoke to the sea and to the storm and it was calm. He was on the cross. He said, don't think for a second I can't call down legions of angels. But he chose not to. When we keep our eyes and our focus fixed on him, we are naturally led into supernatural victory. You are naturally led into supernatural realities. The truth that he has spoken, you will watch it supersede all of the facts and realities that you are dealt with in life. Romans 4, right? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And again, hope, faith. These are the two things we've got to carry into the new year. It's all that God requires of us. Have hope in him. Put your faith and your trust in him. That's all he requires of us. He does all the hard, dirty work. And Abraham, he was a forerunner for us, just like Jesus was. Against all hope, he in hope believed. And so he became the father of many nations, just as God said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He was about 100 years old. He also faced the fact that Sarah's womb was dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Instead, he was strengthened in his faith. He gave glory to God. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do whatever he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us. God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You see, we don't have to lie about the facts. We can speak the facts, but we believe and we hope and we trust not in the facts, but in God who has the power to do whatever he promised. It doesn't matter how impossible it is here on the earth. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for him. So against all hope, we also can believe in hope and receive the promises of God. No matter how impossible our circumstances may be, no matter how long we have been waiting in hope. Why? Because God is greater. We just finished up the whole season of gift giving, right? And it may have been an epic one for you. May have got everything you asked for and even more. But no matter how epic your Christmas was, it cannot compare to the gift-giving season like Israel had. This is the one we're going to end on here. David and all of Israel's leaders, just gave all the wood and gold and silver and precious jewels and everything else of great value far and above what was needed for David's son Solomon to build the temple for the Lord. No one gave out of compulsion or obligation. Every single one gave joyfully and generously. Then in 1 Chronicles, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. Why do we wait to praise God until the promise comes? No, 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 no. That's not a hope, faith-filled people. A hopeful, faith-filled people, they praise God right in the middle of it. I've read so many testimonies, current, modern, this is happening around the world. Christians are getting persecuted and killed. And while they're getting killed, they're just like Stephen. While he was getting stoned to death, he lifted his face up to God. He's like, oh, man, I see Jesus. And he started praising. Oh, it drives people crazy when they can't steal away your hope. But that's real hope. That's real faith. When you believe against all belief, when you hope against all reason for hope, and you start praising God even while you don't have a thing. You start praising God for what is coming. And he said, praise be to you, Lord, the God our Father Israel from everlasting to everlasting, because yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, because everything in heaven and earth, it's yours. Everything's yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor, they all come from you. You're the ruler of everything. In your hands alone are strength and power. You are the one that can exalt and give strength to anyone. Now, our God, we give you thanks. We praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who are we, your people, that we should even be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. What we have given to you here, Lord, we only gave you what first came from your hand. Whew. David was able to praise God because he knew it was all his anyways. They weren't giving God anything. Just whenever you hand back to God what he gave to you, you're not really giving him anything. But you are. You're expressing your trust and your faith and your hope in God. Jesus never praised the rich for giving a lot. But man, did Jesus remember that widow that gave that mite. Man, did he make sure that her giving would be recorded for all time. Because she gave it all. Why? Because she trusted God. She knew that what she gave, it was his anyways. And if she could trust him to receive this tiny little bit, he'll take care of her needs. His eye's on the sparrow, right? They don't starve. I've never seen a bird laying dead because it starved to death. In all my days, I've never seen that. You know? Even with all of the wealth and the worldly blessing that David had received, he recognized and he acknowledged it was all nothing. Nothing compared to God. He was supreme over it all. In fact, everything was created by God and given by him in the first place. So as we proceed into the new year, we are reminded, no matter what, that God is greater. Whatever victories or failures lie ahead of you, no matter what obstacles or struggles or victories are ahead in the upcoming year, God's greater. And he has greater things in store for you. They are just times. They are just seasons. You're just going to go through them. But they are going to end, as David reminded himself as well, they're going to end in the goodness of God manifesting here in the land of the living. God is greater. Greater than anything we face. Greater than anything we leave behind. Greater than all of our highs or lows. God is greater. Let's remember that with faith and hope in him in the upcoming year. So Jesus, today, you know what troubles we're going through right now. But Jesus, you said to take hope because you are greater than all those troubles. So Jesus, we look to you. We keep our eyes fixed on you. Forgive us for getting discouraged and angry and bitter. Forgive us for giving up, Lord. Help us to hold on to that hope rope. Lord, although we can't see it, we see it with eyes of faith. It is tied firmly to you. It is anchored in you and in your word. It is a firm foundation. So help us not to be moved and not to be shaken in what comes in the upcoming year, Lord. Because we're not going to stand on those things that can be moved or shaken. We're going to stand firmly on you, on the reality of who you are, on the promise that you have made, on your word alone, Jesus, will we hang our lives. We trust in you, Lord. You are our God, our Savior, and Jesus, you are greater than anything. So we thank you for reaching out your hand for us to grab hold of, for never leaving us and never forsaking us, for always calling us higher and further into you, into your presence, Lord. You are greater, and I can't wait to experience you and an even greater glory this year in your name. Amen.